Callie, hi.
Hello.
It's been so long since I saw you last.
I know. Oh my God. How was Denver?
Oh my God. Well, it was great. It was relaxing. My friend took such good care of me. Her boyfriend made us delicious cocktails.
Oh.
We made dinner. We went to a hot spring. Here's what I will say about Denver. I had more unwelcome interactions with men in a three-day span than I have had in New York in the past year.
Describe.
Some of them were aggressive in, like, a hitting on sort of way.
Like what?
Like, we were at a hot spring.
What a place to hit on someone.
Well, they weren't even, it was even worse than that because I could handle, another guy at a bar asked us to dance. We were like, no thanks. And he like departed and that was fine. Okay. That's an acceptable way to
golly, asking someone to dance. How old fashioned? What
like
is this?
Crazy.
Meet me in St.
Louis?
He was
cutting quite a rug. It was embarrassing. It was a lot of, it was just a lot of white people doing live karaoke and the kind of dancing that happens to the Eagles and it wasn't the best. But at the hot spring we were sitting and of course we're in our swimsuits. Sitting there and this guy came over and said, "How you doing, girls?" in a really slurred voice, which the only thing worse than a strange man approaching you when you're in your swimsuit is when he does it with like, a slurred voice.
Get control.
So he's where I'm my time in New York has taught me never to make eye contact with such people. So I'm just completely ignoring him talking to my friend, but she's clocking that he's staring at us this entire time. So finally she goes, "Let's go over here." So we go into this other pool that's behind him.
Okay.
Well, of course he turns around. Ugh. Turns right around, sets his arms on the ledge and just
get a
stares.
Life.
Just stares and stares. Finally, she just goes, "We're not interested, dude." Which, thank God, she was there because I didn't have the courage. But then I was, like, scared to go to the bathroom and stuff. I was like, what if he's mad and he's going to, like, accost us somewhere? But then he didn't. His wife was there or
what?
His partner. There was somebody there with him.
Oh.
But he was, like, openly creeping in front of her.
He was looking for a throuple.
I guess.
Ugh.
Anyway, so, and then there were, there were just a number of guys in bars and stuff being creepy. One guy asked my friend for a cigarette and then started in about how his boss was this huge bitch that was giving him a hard time. And I was like, A, nobody gives a shit about your work problems. We just met you, man.
Yeah.
And B, maybe don't say the word bitch angrily to, like, a group of women you just met. Or any women. That was just a sampling. But, you know, mostly it was great. I mean, I think the thing about Denver is people are a lot more willing to come up and start a convo with you than they are here.
I guess that has its ups and downs.
Yeah,
it's,
it definitely
it's
does.
It's a mixed bag.
We had some good encounters as well. It wasn't all creeps.
Okay.
But, you know, it was just something as a New Yorker, well, as a New York dweller, it was something to get used to because my default setting is do not engage.
Wow.
Yeah, okay. We should maybe say that this is Scream Girls.
This is Scream Girls.
We're going to talk about scary movies, as we always do.
Yes, and tonight we're talking about a classic.
Which I had not seen. Surprise, surprise. Poltergeist.
Which I have been watching since childhood. Surprise, surprise. It's an inappropriately young age. I was introduced to Poltergeist. I would say my first viewing was probably when I was 6 or 7.
I will say, you had mentioned that to me before I watched it, and I wasn't particularly scared during the movie. We'll get into it, but I was upset thinking about you as a child watching it. I
and
was like,
My absolute favorite part of Poltergeist is that my brother, my older brother, can still to this day not watch it. If you start quoting lines from it, which I do frequently, he starts freaking out. If you send him like an image of the clown, he gets very upset. He doesn't like the clown or the tree. None of it.
The tree.
And I think he probably was Robbie's age when we first watched it, so it makes sense to me.
I really have a lot to say about poor Robbie.
Let's dive in.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So Poltergeist. Okay, I have an important question before we get in.
I bet I know what it is.
Why is this movie called Poltergeist?
That's not what I thought you were going to ask.
What were you going to ask?
I thought you were going to ask who the fuck directed this movie because did you read
anything
online?
Oh, no, I did
read
all about that scandal.
Yeah, so we'll have to talk about that.
Okay, but...
Well, I looked up what Poltergeist means because I was interested as well. It means a ghost or other supernatural being supposedly responsible for physical disturbances, such as loud noises and objects thrown around.
Okay, but here's the thing. The people... The ghost hunters that they employ tell them that a haunting is like dead souls hanging out and it's like a place. They haunt a place.
Right.
And the poltergeist attaches itself to a person and only lasts for a short time and is more mischievous and everything. But it appears that these are ghosts that they're dealing with. These are departed souls.
This is tough. So, yes. Yes, they are. But I also think that something has attached itself to Carol Ann, which I don't know if you know that in this first one, but there are two subsequent Poltergeist movies.
I got a sense of it.
The haunting follows Carol Ann.
Because we do learn that Carol Ann, the little girl, was born in the house.
Exactly.
So that makes sense to me that it would follow her. Okay. Yeah. And there is, like, sort of the beast. I just never got real clarity on what kind of creature we were dealing with.
It's unclear.
And my understanding of Poltergeist is a little bit more limited in scope than what we witnessed here. But yeah. Also, none of it is real, so I guess we can't get too picky.
Yeah. Well, I also looked up that it's a German word.
Oh?
Meaning polter, noisy, geist. Ghost. Noisy ghost. It means noisy ghost.
That's much cuter than most poltergeists are presented. Although the poltergeist in Harry Potter is nice. Well, he's not nice, but he's fun.
So, my first thought when I was watching this movie is, do you think they worried about the title at all? Like, naming something poltergeist because it's kind of an odd word and, like...
It's funny because I don't know if people... Like, now everybody knows what a poltergeist is, more or less, but maybe that's just because of this movie.
I would think.
Well, the Enfield Poltergeist predates this movie, which is the premise of The Conjuring 2, which is a true, quote-unquote, true story. It's like a documented case of, you know, you could get into how...
Well, that wasn't a very friendly ghost. Why did I think poltergeists were friendly?
I don't know, because it's a nice word, and because I think the perception is that they're sort of mischievous.
They're not so friendly in this, and they're certainly not friendly in Enfield.
No, very mean. Yeah, it is interesting, like, from a branding perspective, the decision to do that and not to call it, like, swimming pool skeleton.
That would have been good.
Yeah. Swimming pool skeleton. But Poltergeist is interesting, and it's sort of...
I like it.
To be iconic. I like it. So, yeah, you mentioned the director thing. So this movie is... allegedly directed by Tobe Hooper, who directed the Texas Chainsaw Massacre along with a lot of other horror movies, none quite as prominent as this.
Right.
But...
Well, it's also produced and screenwritten by Steven Spielberg, mm-hmm. and legend has it that Steven Spielberg actually directed this film, but it seems to have crossed over from legend into it is fact. Like, I read an article from... The Independent, which is a pretty reputable source, that basically was saying a lot of these urban legends about directors, you know, it's sort of like the freaking Truman Capote wrote To Kill a Mockingbird. It's like those sort of like legends that you hear, whatever, rumors that you hear usually don't pan out. There's no truth to them. But apparently this one has crossed over into fact where people are like, oh no, Steven Spielberg for sure directed this movie. I was on the set with him. And the reason is because he had a clause in his E.T. contract that said he could not direct another film while in pre-production on E.T. And so he accepted the producer role, but secretly directed
basically
the movie.
Helmed the whole thing.
And that Toby would, like, be on set, and occasionally Steven Spielberg would, like, okay, you have a go, but it was not...
Well, this is a very Spielberg-y movie. Yes. And before I even realized, I saw that he had a producer credit. Before I realized he had even written it, I was like, Jesus, this is basically like Jaws.
Yeah, it looks just like E.T.
Yeah. And the music, the score, it's very sort of adventure-y, more so than horror-y. And the scenes where they're riding their bikes through the neighborhood, and the whole thing is just like classic.
For some reason, the kitchen
Steve.
Scenes really stuck out to me, like the mom in the kitchen, and the when the guy leans in and like tastes the sauce that's on that. Like, I was like, oh boy, that's a Steven Spielberg moment if I ever saw
all
one.
Of the shots are very Spielberg. I mean, I haven't seen you've seen Texas Chainsaw Massacre, so maybe you could speak to how similar that is to this.
Not similar.
That's
I mean
a gore
Texas
fest.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre is like a rough movie to watch. Like, I don't want us to have to watch that movie on this podcast. I've watched it. I didn't enjoy it. It's like grisly, and like this
I've seen the remake, which is not
this
very
is
good,
much
but...
more like nostalgic, wistful family, whatever, like Americana.
Right, that it's sort of a fantasy, more than a, I mean, all horror is fantasy.
It all has
to
that like white glow about it, sort of. You know what I mean? Same thing with third, you know,
Close
Encounter. Yeah, it's that same.
Yeah,
feel.
It was in that family for sure. So I have no trouble believing. I mean, no disrespect to Tobe Hooper, who is no longer with us.
Yeah,
but he seems not to have.
Also, I just think it's cool. Now it's a thing. Like, this article that I read was written in 2017. It was like, it's a thing. No,
yeah.
It happened.
It's totally
a
thing.
Oh, and on IMDb, so I looked up, like, all the trivia and stuff because, you know, this movie's been out for so long, and we'll get to it, but it has all this
A checkered history. A
checkered history. And so I was reading all the trivia as we were going, and straight up, I think IMDb is like a Wikipedia in that it's people write in. Yeah. So granted, take everything with a grain of salt. But just straight up on there, people are like, director Steven Spielberg, director Steven Spielberg. Like, yeah. It is every single trivia thing is about how he directed it.
I mean,
it.
If you would put it in front of me and said, guess who directed this movie, that's who I would say.
I would have said Christopher Columbus. Director of the Goonies.
Oh, I thought you meant the real Christopher, like the original.
Is that his name? Genocide. Christopher Columbus?
Is it Chris? Is it Chris Columbus? Home Alone? Director of Home Alone?
Do you think he goes by Chris because Christopher Columbus is so controversial?
Probably. Mm-hmm. He doesn't want that Columbus blood on his hand.
I remember I used to stare at the Goonies poster and think, Chris Columbus, what a name.
What a name. I know, he kept it. He stuck by his guns. All right, let's get into it. So the first thing I clocked in this movie was that beautiful golden retriever.
Oh,
and I was so happy that golden retriever made it through the movie. Spoiler alert, the dog lives.
I mean, even like the dog just like getting out of Dodge when things go south. Like dog, that part was amazing.
Fuck y'all. Dog's just wandering around with all these sleepy people.
Oh, just like eating all the food that's cute in everyone's bed.
Yeah, people are not very responsible with their food hygiene. So
well, the TV's on. I mean, can we talk about another indictment of television?
Yes, I clocked that too. Just like The Ring, staticky TV is very scary. He falls asleep watching it. It's playing the national anthem. Because back in the day, you know, if you fall asleep watching TV, the stations quit playing stuff at a certain point once it's early in the morning. Millennials. And
do you remember those days? I don't think I was ever up that late. Oh.
But also I had cable. Yeah. So I don't think that happened on cable.
Yeah. Like, I feel like reruns. By time I was older, it was like Nick at Night would run and then it would be like home shopping type stuff. Like it would be infomercials, but it never went off.
Yeah. They weren't going to
there'd be no more shows.
Air.
But Carol Ann wakes up.
Carol Ann's the cutest little blonde girl.
Cute, yes. A creepy. Little Children of the Corn with her blonde toe-head hair. True. She goes to the TV. She starts talking to it. She does have a very cute little Minnie Mouse voice. Mm-hmm. And she's like, I can't hear you. What are you saying? And her whole family wakes up. And that's sort of it. That's sort of the cold open.
They're like, she must be
she's talking to the TV. Like a little, she's sleepwalking. That's what
they
thought.
The mom thinks she's sleepwalking.
Well, then there's, what else? I mean, then we just get sort of a look at the family. So
yeah, this idyllic neighborhood. They live in this sort of planned community. Mm-hmm. We see this guy riding his bike and some kids fucking with him. And he's going to bring beer to watch a football game. We see an altercation between the main dad and the neighbor who they have the same remote. So they're like, when they change a channel, it changes a channel inside. This is very, I felt like I was watching like Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. It really was very sort of just like Disney live action comedy.
Yep.
From the 90s.
It does have a little Disney feel to it for sure. Yeah.
Not scary at all. Just very sort of picture perfect and silly. The bird has died. The little girl, Carol Ann, her canary has died. The mom finds it. Canary in a coal mine. Canary's first to get out of Dodge.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, that's what I got out of that. But
I took nothing from it except like, family. Look at that mom's hair. I love the mom's hair.
The mom's beautiful. She's like, very beautiful. Always in shorts, really just like rocking a high-waisted short.
She looks great.
Yeah. The mom tries to flush it down the toilet, which like, what the fuck?
What are you doing?
It's a bird. It's not a fish. It has a lot of bones. I was like, you are going to have plumbing
issues. I was like, you can't
issues.
Put a tampon in the toilet. Like, you're going to put a full bird
corpse. Yeah. So, but the little girl walks in on her, and thank God, because she would have been dealing with those plumbing issues for weeks. Made the poltergeist look like child's play. But so, Carol Ann, she has to bury Carol Ann's bird with her. They put it in a shoebox, bury it, the dog's digging it up, very cute, whatever. Yeah, but it's also a little bit creepy and ominous, because it's like, we're burying this thing. Next night.
Oh, a little foreshadowing too. They bury something.
Oh, and it gets dug up right away because of the dog. And there's this big tree that this little boy, we meet the middle child, Robbie, who's like, I don't know, 8.
Yeah.
And he's looking at this tree and he's got some issues with this tree.
Yep.
Next night is this thunderstorm. The kids are in bed.
Yeah.
Parents are smoking a J.
Well, first of all, first thing I noticed was the mom goes to tuck them in, goodnight, and then she closes the door all the way. And I don't know about you. Were you a closed door?
I was an open door house.
Like, I mean, my house was just me and my mom and my older brother for till I was like 9. Mm-hmm. And we didn't shut a door, even if we were going to the bathroom. Mm-hmm. Like, we could be in the bathtub. bathtub and the door was wide open. Yeah. We were having conversations with each other. Bedroom doors never shut.
Well, I did relate to, she was going to leave and Caroline goes, closet light, because she forgot to leave the closet light on. And I was like that with the hall light.
That was a good Caroline.
closet light. I have a very high-pitched child voice. This also is foreshadowing that it's the closet light. But I thought that was a real moment. And then parents are smoking a joint. They're talking about the swimming pool. They're worried that Caroline is going to sleepwalk into the swimming pool.
Yeah.
All just sort of mundane parental stuff.
Yes, I thought it was good. I mean, it shows that they have like a good, playful marriage, this whole interaction. Mm-hmm. Like they're very close, obviously. They're, you know.
And I think the pot suggests that they're a little bit more open-minded, loosey-goosey, which helps explain why they accept so quickly what's
definitely
happening to them later.
Like the mom's open-minded. Yeah, yeah. Also, this movie's like a freaking time capsule because it was like he's reading a book about Ronald Reagan, which like, LOL, she's smoking a joint. And, and then you see Clue and the kid has Star Wars sheets.
Oh,
and
there's
like,
Star Wars paraphernalia everywhere.
Yeah,
I
it's just
it.
Like literally the most throwback movie. And I just thought it was great.
It's really a blast from the past.
Yes.
So they're hanging out. The kids get scared. The two littlest kids. There's also a teen daughter played by Dominique Dunn, who we'll get into.
Dana.
But the two little kids are both scared because there's a thunderstorm. They come in while the parents are smoking. The little boy comes in and the mom takes another hit off the joint and goes, what's the matter, honey?
Yeah, I liked that.
Which I thought was funny. Mm-hmm. So he's scared because he's scared of this tree. Also, there's a terrifying clown doll in that room. Why would you ever have that? I mean, I guess this was pre-Stephen King's It and pre-John Wayne Gacy, probably? Or they maybe weren't aware of John Wayne Gacy. I can't. Maybe he was 70s. So they might not have been so scared of that. But I still don't understand why you would give your child something like that.
It's very just. It's the same as Annabelle. It's like that doll is too ugly.
No,
because
you would never have
my
it.
Grandpa used to love clowns, and he has a clown doll in our basement. But it's very sweet and soft and cute.
Yeah, you would never get something that looks
still freaky. My brother could
like
not
murder.
Look at it because of Poltergeist. But this clown doll is evil, pure evil.
Yeah.
And also, like, Robbie, why don't you just say, like, I don't like that clown doll. Get it out of here.
Yeah, why is it set up to stare directly
prominently
at you while I sleep?
It has, like, the most prominent view in the bedroom. It's, like,
He's
the king of the bedroom.
You have to have a good centerpiece for any room. So they're scared. So the dad is very sweet with them and, like, teaches the little boy a trick for how to tell when the storm is moving away. It's a whole counting of lightning thing.
Which I do.
I do, too.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's
yeah, it's a good trick. I wrote down solid dad moves here because he's just real sweet with them and he catches the other girl.
Get off the phone, Dana.
Oh, here's the thing. This is for later maybe, but we learn later that the mom is 32.
Uh-huh.
Dana's 16.
Uh-huh.
What the fuck? So she had
a
16. She was 16. Mm-hmm. I was like, maybe she's the daughter's from a previous marriage. But I was like, that's a whole thing.
Yeah.
I mean,
don't
the dad's
know.
From a previous marriage.
Yeah. Well, I did wonder later, I had written down, how old is Craig T. Nelson supposed to be? Because he does seem older than 32.
Yeah, for sure.
And I'm hoping that if they had the daughter when she was 16, that he's not that much older, because that's kind of gross. But I don't know. I was always honestly confused about the ages when I was a little kid. And then ironically, when I was 10, my mom had a baby. And so I was like, that
makes
sense.
But your mom wasn't 16 when you were born.
No. Yeah.
I mean, that's just... It's just an interesting tidbit. It's like, wow, this family has a whole backstory.
It's like an interesting moment. Like, you know...
But it has no bearing on the events of the film, really.
No.
I actually thought that the teen, no disrespect to Dominique Dunn, gives a great performance. I didn't think she was necessary.
Yeah,
she didn't
she
have
wasn't
much
really.
To do.
No.
She shows up at the end to scream a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know why that choice was made to have a teen daughter. I don't know.
Yeah, but I mean, maybe... No, because it's attached to Carol Ann. I mean, we've talked before about how poltergeists, like in the case of the Enfield poltergeist, they tend to be attracted to, like, pubescent children, especially young women. So, you know, if there had been something about that.
Yeah.
But, that, like, there was – maybe that was cut. I don't know. There was, like, no tension – The daughter was, like, a perfectly fine... She wasn't, like, a rude teen.
Right.
She
Even watching it this
jokes.
Time, I was like, oh, maybe she's, like, 13.
Yeah.
And then, but they say, no, she's 16.
So. 16 and some construction workers outside the goddamn house are hitting on her. Her mom just looks on and laughs.
I like that. She's, like, an early feminist.
Yes. But I was horrified that her mom was just like, oh, haha, you 40-year-old
Well, I think
men.
She wanted to see how she would...
I suppose so. But I would have had words with those. You know, they're building your swimming pool. Go out and say it is not appropriate for you to
Well, it's also not appropriate for that guy to dip in his dirty-ass fingers into the fucking soup gross. She's making or whatever.
Leaning in the window.
But before that even happens, they're all asleep. They've fallen asleep during the storm, and the TV goes to crackle static again. Caroline and Robbie are asleep in their bed, which was cute, in the parents' bed. And she wakes up, Caroline, she goes to the end of the bed, she goes in front of the TV, and
it's like a ghost thing, hand.
A ghost hand comes out, everybody wakes up, and she turns around and most iconic line, second most iconic line in this movie, they're here.
I was excited about that.
Yeah. And then there's a freaking earthquake.
Yeah, but only they feel it. Only because they the next feel day it. He's calling his neighbors and he's like, how did you not feel that? It was a 6.5 on the Richter scale. Now, there's a lot of this hand coming out of the TV is the first of a lot of very Disney-est animation that we will see. Really very like bed knobs and broomsticks-y stuff that happens.
Good one. We should watch that.
Oh my god, I feel like I was upset by that movie as a child. Not scared. No. It's not I'm just trying to figure out how to justify it being a horror movie. Nazis.
Yeah, totally. Scary. Oh, Nazis.
Yeah.
So they're eating breakfast and funny, the kids say, Robbie says to the girl or something, she's stoned. And Dana says, what do you know about it? Ask Dad. Ask Dad. And they're just like teasing each other, but I thought it was funny that he knows what it means to be stoned. I was like, oh,
this house. I mean, I thought this whole exchange, the kids, I especially really like Robbie, actually. I feel like all of the kids are very realistic in their interactions with each other. They're not overly precocious. They're not like Aiden and fucking the ring.
No.
They're all like children. But while they're having this fight, Robbie's glass spontaneously breaks, the bottom bursts out of it, and milk goes everywhere. I thought that was the first moment where I got a little spooked. I was like, ooh, that's kind of spooky.
Yeah.
And then he realizes that all his silverware has bent.
Yeah.
Then the little girl, Carol Ann, is like watching TV. There's a TV in the thing and it's turned to static and she's just staring. The mom knows something's up because the mom asks her, when you said they're here, who did you mean? Which I was glad because I was like, are you not going to address the creepiest shit she said for no reason in the middle of the night? The TV people. The TV people. She doesn't know what they look like. So we're looking for the TV people.
The funniest part of that was when Carol Ann's staring into the static. And then the mom comes over and she goes, oh, you're going to ruin your eyes like that. And then she changes the channel to a war. Just a straight up war film. I thought that was very funny.
I know. And I'm like, I think it's not the content that you're watching.
It's how close your eyes are to the TV. Yes. My parents used to tell me that all the time. Yeah. You're standing too close to the TV.
Absolutely. Also, don't watch TV in the dark,
also,
which is a myth.
Why did we sit so close? Why did I sit so close?
Children don't have any sense of what's good for them. They just want, like, ultimate stimulation, as much stimulation as they can get.
Yeah, that's true. Immersed in television.
Ugh, but...
Well, the mom goes upstairs, and the dog is barking at the wall and, like, basically plays fetch with the wall.
Yeah. This is scary also. Dogs barking at nothing is always like, oh, no.
Yeah. And then she goes back downstairs, and all the chairs are pushed out.
Mm-hmm.
And so she pushes them back in. And then
turns away for two seconds.
And turns back, and they're, like, on the table. All the chairs are on the table in, like, a pyramid.
Right. And she says to the little girl, the TV people? And the little girl's like, uh-huh. Now, the mom, I was just struck by how quickly we accepted that there were poltergeists here. There was some shit happening here. Because I feel like...
Yeah, but, like, what else would you think?
There was no one absolutely. Else in the house. Not that she accepted it, but that the movie, like, took us there so fast.
Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah, she was actually making the right calls.
It's not,
but...
like, Paranormal Activity. Like, it takes so long for them to come to terms with there's paranormal activity happening. Right away, she's like, this is Paranormal Activity.
It was like that with The Haunting, too. I mean, and I think some hauntings in these movies tend to gaslight their victims a little more, where it's like, did I leave that there?
Yeah.
Like, The Conjuring is a little bit more of a slow burn.
Totally.
You know,
like, it's a draft that blew the door closed or whatever. No, this is like, this fucking, what in the world, like, could have built these chairs on top of this table?
Right. I mean, and she makes the right call. She makes the wrong call, however, in believing this spirit to be a benevolent presence.
Well, okay, so two things about this scene. First of all, it reminded me so much of The Sixth Sense, which obviously came later, but do you remember the scene in The Sixth Sense where Toni Collette...
Oh, and all the cabinets are open?
Yeah.
Oh my god, that scared the shit out of me.
I know, so good. I love that movie. And then also, I was, you know, I read all this trivia in IMDb, so apparently that was done in one take. She, you know, pushed all the chairs in, turns around, goes to the sink, bends down, and while the camera's looking at her bending down, putting the stuff under the sink, a crew ran in and put those chairs on top of the
table
then, like, ran out and So it was all done in one shot, which is really cool.
Yeah, it was very unsettling. A lot of the haunty stuff, before we get into the crazy animation, a lot of, like, the smaller things are very effective and very cool.
For sure.
Like the glass breaking and everything. Okay, so she's very stoked. The husband comes home.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, we learned that the husband in this time is a real estate developer, and he has had a hand in developing the community that they live in and another community. It's like a five-phase community. So anyway, so that being learned, he goes home. The mom is like, oh, my God, look at this thing. She has found a spot on the kitchen floor where if you put an object or Carol Ann, she does it with Carol Ann, it will slide across the floor of its own volition. The husband's freaked out. I have a question here. I was watching this on Amazon Prime. There was a really weird, rough cut. That's in the movie.
Yes.
Okay.
And I read about it on IMDb.
Okay.
So again, IMDb, I don't know how accurate any of this is, but apparently in that scene, they're talking about getting pizza for dinner, and she says, we'll order from Pizza Hut, and Craig T says, I hate Pizza Hut, and Pizza Hut was very offended by that, so they had to cut that dialogue out of the movie.
That's crazy.
So that's why it's such an awkward cut.
It was so, because I was abrupt. Like, in another movie, I would have thought, oh, this is just like a fun transition, you know, they're freaked out and then they're talking to their neighbor, but it just didn't fit with any of the rest of how the movie was put together.
It was so strange. Everything else had like a fade out and like a musical
transition.
I rewound
it three times. I was is this like copy? It's all fucked up.
So
but
funny.
Anyway, so they go to the neighbors. They're like, I don't understand why this exchange happened. They're asking the neighbors. They're getting eaten alive by mosquitoes on the
which
set.
Is so odd.
I think it has to do with the poltergeist because the other guy's like, I've never been eaten by a mosquito in my life.
Huh.
But I don't know, maybe not. Or maybe it just has to do with the standing water in their not completed swimming pool.
Maybe.
But they ask the guy if anything weird has been happening, their neighbor, and the neighbor's like, no, and he's kind of aggressive. But it's like, why? And then the dad later says, like, we keep this in the family. But it's like, why did you go over there to ask them if you didn't want them to know what was going on?
I guess trying to figure out if any other houses are experiencing anything. But why ask their shitty neighbor? I don't know.
Yeah. I guess
also,
maybe,
like, they're, like, laughing the whole time. It was, like, an odd
they're
scene.
Very excited about, I mean, and she says to him when he comes in, she's like, try to think back to a time when you used to be open-minded.
I liked that
I think
part.
They're kind of excited at first. They're like, this is so cool. This is an adventure.
Yeah. So but, when they go back to their house, I mean, it's clear that the mom is wildly open-minded about it.
Yeah.
She's like, it's another side of nature that we just don't know about.
Yeah.
She doesn't think that there's anything nefarious happening. She realm. Is she gonna find out when that tree busts in the window?
Oh my God, Kelly. 0 to fucking 80. I was like, oh, the little boy's in his bed. They go to bed. The tree's tapping at the door. And I'm like, oh, some more spooky stuff is gonna happen. No, the tree fully anthropomorphizes. Busts through the door, grabs the little boy, and pulls him out. It's nuts. It's crazy. I was like, what am I watching? I was not prepared.
I love it.
I was not prepared. But
it just fucking
is very
busts
aggressive.
Through the window. It's crazy.
It's crazy. And
also,
it's like,
later that window is fixed, which I was like,
no,
when do you have time? When do you have time?
I have a lot of questions about the timeline of the end of the movie.
Yeah, for sure.
But so, of course, they have to run out and get the little boy out of the tree. The tree's eating him. The tree's, like, sucking him down. The dad has to climb up the tree and get little Robbie. And then Carol Ann, while this is happening, stays in bed. The closet door swings open. And it
which,
goes
like,
all
classic
night.
Horror movie, trying to separate them. It reminded me of The Haunting. It was, like, when the dog's barking or whatever, this tree literally starts eating this boy so that it can get to Carol Ann.
Yeah.
That's the end goal.
Yes, and it is achieved because Carol Ann is sucked into
and
the
closet.
And
also there's, like, a twister. I was like, this is
very... Oh, yeah, there's a
full
tornado. I was like, does anyone else see this?
Just you.
Like, just... No, not just me. Like, the family. Like, do their neighbors see it? No, I was very tired. I was...
You're like, Callie, did you see a twister in your copy of the movie?
I watched this movie after, like, as soon as I got home from the airport. And it was very late. I was very tired, so it's possible that I
hallucinated the twister was like
several scenes.
Full Wizard of Oz, it's a twister.
It was crazy.
So the dad goes to save the boy out of the tree, and so there's two moments in this movie where the parents just like fall to the ground holding the children in order to save them, and he just like grabs the boy and then just like throws themselves out of the tree.
I mean, that I would too.
Which
that
he basically lands on the little boy, but it's fine. It's better than being
little
in that
tree.
Little
boy's face is like covered in blood too. This poor little baby boy. I mean, what a scary thing. He was already afraid of that damn tree. His nightmare came true.
Yes.
So while that's happening, Carol Ann's getting sucked into the closet.
Okay, do you know what's really interesting about this movie, too? Yes. Okay, not I'm skipping ahead because later, Zelda, Tangina.
Oh, I can't wait to get to her.
Tangina tells us, clear your minds. It knows what scares you. It already knows too much. So we don't learn that until later, but yeah. That's such like an important fact because that's why the tree attacks Robbie, because he's scared of it.
Of the tree. It's true.
So I guess it's good to find that out later, but yeah, maybe we should have known that in advance.
It's interesting. I was reading something about how this reviewers have talked about this movie being sort of like a modern fable, a modern fairy tale, in that Carol Ann, you know, is like a little girl who forces her parents to go through all this stuff to prove that they love her. And not intentionally, obviously, it's not Carol Ann's fault. But that sort of speaks to that, this idea that like your nightmares are real. There's something about the haunted wood and the, you know, it's kind of Nightmare on Elm Street-ish.
Yeah.
But there's lots of movies and things play with our fears, our worst fears coming to life.
Well, when they go back in the house, they're freaking out. They can't find Carol Ann. Yeah. And I had written down that this isn't scary, but it's freaky. Like, it's mom upsetting. Is freaking out.
The worst part for me, I think maybe in the whole movie, is when she goes, oh my God, the swimming pool.
The swimming pool. So that's what I was referencing,
the dad
I think.
Is diving into the muddy water of the swimming pool because he thinks Carol Ann is in the swimming pool. And I just, I cannot imagine as a parent, because the rest of it is like not going to happen to your child, probably. I cannot imagine as a parent just frantically, blindly
also, like,
groping
around. I don't know if it's just hormones, what's happening with me. This mom, I cried 3 times during this movie. Okay. So that part really freaked me out when she was like, the swimming pool! And she's like, oh my God. So that part really freaked me out. And then there's multiple parts later on that I wept.
She's
and then I was like,
mom.
Why am I crying?
They're good parents. They're really likable as parents. I mean, they shouldn't probably smoke weed like directly in front of their children. The little boy, they leave poor Robbie, who's like shell-shocked and traumatized. Of course, I don't think Robbie got enough attention for the rest of this movie.
Poor babe.
Robbie has been through it.
I know. Can you imagine? He's like, hey, remember when that tree tried to eat me?
Yeah.
Literally
I was like, how are these children... Later when the older sister is crying because she can hear her little sister's voice in the TV, I was like, these kids need therapy.
They're never going
to
be
They're
right.
never going to get... And who are you going to go to for therapy for something like this?
Zelda.
Nobody. Zelda.
Tangina.
Zelda's not a practicing psychotherapist, I would guess, but... Better than nothing.
So he goes to meet with Dr. Lester.
Yeah, because Dr. Lester. Important thing. The little boy hears the Carolyn's voice coming out of the TV.
Very scary.
We realize she's been sucked into the TV
And him freaking out is scary,
world.
Too. And he's like,
Mommy!
Yeah.
He's really good. Yeah, so he goes, what's his name?
Dad.
He goes
looks
and talks.
A mess.
It's really sad.
He looks tired as fuck.
Yeah. It's unclear how many days. It's been like a while.
Yeah, it feels like it's been a little while. They have not gone to the police, which I was like, interesting.
I was not a fan of that. I was like...
But what would the police do or say? Like, I don't know. Maybe they were worried that they would think they did something to her.
I know, but like, wouldn't they be more worried if they... I guess they just were holding out hope they would get her back.
Yeah.
And I guess they know it's not a police matter.
No.
But I was just like, you're number one suspect. But, I mean, what can you do? We've never
so
been
bad.
Poltergeist
but so
victims.
When he's talking to them, he's like, we just want to find our daughter. We don't care about the pounding, the flashing, the screaming, the music.
Yeah.
So you get a sense that time has passed because, like, a lot has been happening since Carol Ann went missing.
Yeah.
And when they finally go to the house, he says, we don't go in that room anymore. Yeah.
Did we establish that the people he has gone to are ghost hunters?
Not in this podcast, but in the movie, they did do that.
Okay. So, yes, he's talking to ghost hunters. But, yeah, they come back, and he shows them the room, and it's more comedy. This movie's got jokes. The one ghost hunter is like, oh, one time I captured a matchbox car moving across the floor. It took 7 hours to get across the floor, but I caught it on time lapse, so I know it was real. And they open the door, and there's all this shit flying around. This is the true bed knobs and broomsticks. Furniture spinning, lamps lighting, like all kinds of stuff, and they're all very... shocked. I thought the mom was a little too chipper in this next scene.
She smiles a lot.
Yeah, and she says, because we learned that dad has taken time off, you know, he's pretending to be sick, and she like pets his face and she's like, Steve's been wonderful.
I know, and I was
and like
I
don't think
I
Steve
like,
needs his ego stroke right now. Like, his daughter is missing.
I was like, chill. She gets a little sensual at some parts. I was like, all right, well, cool your jets. Like, your daughter's missing.
How about a little sadness?
They like smile and laugh a lot of parts, and I was like, I don't know if I would smile at all.
I guess you're trying to keep your shit together for the other kids a little bit, but.
Okay, so another moment while they're at the table, just that I took note of because we've talked about it in this podcast so much, is something happens like the teapot moves across the table while they're all sitting on the coffee pot. And the one guy goes, it's electrical. You can smell the charge. Mm-hmm. And it made me think of A Quiet Place. It made me think of so many of the movies we've watched where ghosts have electrical current.
It's like they're grounding it in a physical reality. Yeah. Which I guess if you believe in ghosts could be spooky.
Yeah. So this was also the part where they talked about the poltergeist is attached to a person and a haunting is attached to a certain area. And
this
I think
is where my confusion
this
comes
is
from.
The confusing bit. And we'll have to, I think, on our own time. I really do want to watch Poltergeist 2 because I've never seen it. Mm-hmm. I have seen Poltergeist 3, which is scary as fuck.
Really?
There are parts of that movie that I like cannot.
I don't think this movie is particularly scary, but it's upsetting. There are a lot of gross, upsetting things. It's not that bad, but I don't know. Well, we'll get into one of the moments that was coming up here. They talk to Carol Ann, like, through the thing. Only her mom can sort of summon her, and they talk to her. And this is scary. She's like, Mommy, I see some light. Should I go toward the light? And they're like, don't go toward the light, Carol Ann. Stay away from the light, which I believe is, like, a famous thing, right? Is that, like, a famous line? Carol Ann, stay away from the light.
I think Zelda has, it's when she, Tangina, I keep calling her Zelda because that's the actress's name and it's fabulous. Later when she's like, go towards the light, all are welcome, all are welcome.
Right. You're doing a killer Tangina impression, I gotta
quote
say.
Quote Tangina. I swear, Caitlin, you must have heard me say, all are welcome, I feel like I say that at least twice a week.
I have to say, and I'll say this about both Dr., I forget her name, Dr. Lesh?
Yeah, something.
Dr. Lesh, the first lady. When she first showed up, I said, who did the creature design on this woman's forehead? Because her forehead is so large. But then it got smaller.
What?
I don't know. Hair and makeup was crazy. Her forehead was so big.
Okay, I have to tell you something. So I've seen this movie a ton. I've never really taken much notice of that lady until this viewing. And
I liked her a lot. I grew to like her because at first I was like, who's this?
And I think you're supposed to really like her and she's supposed to be a main character. Yeah. But she's so overshadowed by Tangina.
I know. Well, I like the two main ghost hunters because we have the two men. But the two ones who really are getting shit done are the women. Yeah. And the mom also gets some shit done.
Yeah, I liked Dr. Lesh's connection to the mom and how, like, sweet she was to her.
She's a wonderful actress. I feel bad that I said that about her forehead, but that was my honest reaction. But then it got better. Like, they, like, patted her hair down or something. But, yeah. But I mean, yeah, she sort of gives the little boy an explanation, tries to explain to him what's going on.
Also, do you know, like, fully what this is? Steven Spielberg. Dr. Lesh is, what's his name?
The guy, Richard Dreyfuss.
Richard Dreyfuss.
Yeah.
Dr. Lesh is Richard Dreyfuss. And Zelda, Tangina, is Quint.
Yeah.
One is kind of straight-laced and buttoned up and is going to help, and they're kind of trusted. And then the second is this kind of wackadoodle, like, who's this? But you need them.
Yeah.
Because they're the real experts.
Oh.
It's like that formula. Damn, Spielberg.
Steven, come on.
We got your number.
But it works when you got a system that works.
It totally
just
works.
Just repurpose it. Yeah, so she gives... Wait, I had written something down about the story. Everyone, I love this lady. Robbie is very brave. Why is everyone whispering?
Oh, my God.
Where's the data, bitch? Oh, because she starts to tell him all her theories of ghostdom.
Yes.
And I'm like... this is just conjecture. Where's that data?
It's like all about the light. Some people don't want to go. Some people get lost.
Yeah. How do you know? She's a parapsychologist.
Yeah.
I don't understand. Like, have you been recording stats?
I mean, she probably has charts.
Of what? They saw a matchbox car go across the thing. So I was like, okay. But I liked her.
Well, two things. First of all, we missed the part where I cried.
Oh, where'd you cry?
The part where I cried is when the mom's talking to Carol Ann, and then Carol Ann, like, goes through her. Like, the spirit of Carol Ann goes through her. Do you remember this part? And she's like, oh, she went right through me. I felt her.
Yeah, that was really sad.
I can
sad.
Smell her. Smell me. She's all over me. And I started crying.
That was
and
really
I was like,
but
what's
was
happening
like,
to me?
Smells.
Oh, but it's
I was like,
oh.
Children don't smell good.
Oh, I think they do. Probably because my mom is always like, I love the way you smell. Even now that I'm an adult, but she's just like, oh, I used to love to smell you when you were little, like when you're a baby, and then when you're a little kid.
That is cute.
You smell like pure and like a little kid.
I know, you smell like a little, and yeah, you the smells that you love, the people that you love become good smells. I get it.
I will say Dr. Lesh is whispering about the light, and the voice was so soothing, so ASMR.
She's great. She's a great actor.
I took a break to watch some ASMR videos because I was like, well, now I'm in the mood.
You need to.
I literally was getting ASMR tingles from
I loved Dr. it. I'm sorry I said something about your forehead, Dr. Lesh. You don't look like a creature.
So kinky. It was a weird time for everyone in terms of fashion and foreheads.
Okay, so then this one of the ghost hunters, the lesser ghost hunter, who's already been bitten by something. He went up to the closet and got bit.
Yeah.
And had lots of marks.
Something took a bite out of me.
He goes into the kitchen and he's like raiding.
And Robbie goes, you got bit?
I like that so part. Cute. But he goes into the kitchen and he raids her fridge and he takes out a steak. He's going to make a fucking steak.
Throws it on the counter.
I know. Rude. I was like, did you bring that from home?
Also, are you going to put some bleach on that counter?
Please. Clorox wipes?
Yeah.
They didn't have them yet.
No. What were we going to use? Vinegar? Vinegar and lemon?
I love the smell of vinegar. However, he doesn't. The steak
people are disrespecting
and he's eating
that
a chicken
kitchen.
Leg. Where'd he get a chicken leg from? This is not your house.
You don't live here, sir.
These people are in a state of grief. They don't have time to cook. Don't take their food.
I know. God, what were they eating?
I don't know. I guess chicken wings because he had them in the fridge. So he's eating a chicken wing or a chicken drumstick, and he has a steak on the counter, and it starts bubbling up, and all these maggots come out of it, and then he drops the chicken wing, and all these maggots are crawling over.
So this part was strange, and then he goes to barf, and when he looks up in the worst special effects of all time, he pulls his own face off. I was confused by this part because nothing up to this point has been a hallucination, but this is essentially a hallucination, right?
Yeah, because then the lights flash, I was freaking out during this part. I was like, this just got so real. Like, this guy is dying. Yeah. He's ripping his own fucking face off.
Yeah.
This is another movie all of a sudden, but then it wasn't real. I don't know. Like, did the studio just get a note? Like, there's not enough scary shit, so they just, like, threw the scene
you.
In. Picking his face off scares him?
Your face off?
That would scare anyone.
Well, then they film, like, an apparition, basically, that comes down the stairs, and there's lots of, like, little lights coming down the stairs, and they film it, and when they rewatch the footage, you can see the ghosts of actual people as they're walking down the stairs.
Right.
And so what Dr. Lesh has said is coming true, or, you know, being borne out in this video where it's like, these are people, they are lost, they can't find where they're going, they don't know that they're dead, da-da-da-da-da.
Right.
And they're all just, like, wandering around this house. Robbie goes to his grandparents, which
good
I was
move.
Like, good mood.
But I was
the
like,
dog
can somebody
him.
Take him to the airport? Like, they just put this 8-year-old child in a cab.
He'll get there.
I mean, I know he will. But
with a dog?
I know. Well, you're not allowed to do that in New York. The dog has to be in a case.
They'll figure it out.
But
I did write down, like, what's the plan? This was the same with the haunting. What's the plan? So, like, they're gonna keep taking records and, like, you know, whatever, making footage. But what is the plan?
Well, the plan is to bring in somebody with bigger guns. And that's what they do. They bring in Zelda Slash. What's her real name
with
in the movie?
Shorter legs and bigger guns.
Bigger guns.
Zelda's name is Tangina.
Tangina. They bring in this psychic, this clairvoyant Tangina, because our Dr. Lesh is like, I can't handle this shit, but I'm not going to leave you high and dry. I got to bring in somebody
else. I
like
that part. She's like, I will come back.
Yeah, it was really nice. And they hugged. There's a lot of nice moments between the two women. We missed a part, I think, that is important, or maybe we didn't.
Oh, yes. It is important.
The part with the developer.
Yes.
So dad's boss comes and checks in on him because he thinks the dad is going to, like, leave for another place. Here's where we find out that Carol Ann
was born
in the house. There's, like, a really sad moment where he's like, oh, I didn't see her. Is she sick too? And he's just like, she's around.
Yeah.
And
we've all got
the dad
same
is,
thing.
Like, the most devastated of anyone. He's just sort of defeated this whole time.
He just, like, seems like he hasn't slept or anything because, like, how the fuck could you?
It's really sad.
So I was curious as I was watching this if you were taking note of all these little mentions of, I guess you were because you're a human being watching a movie, but I was like, did I notice
like,
that
what,
he,
well,
that
child,
like there was
so.
Model homes and that they go to this like cemetery thing.
Well,
and
I knew why this was happening. I know the story of Poltergeist,
okay.
So I like didn't have to.
I thought it was
although,
funny that the boss was like, it's not like it's ancient tribal burial ground,
yeah.
Which definitely comes into play in
a later
part
movie.
Two.
Well, so we find out in this scene that in order to build the development where the guy, the dad, and everybody lives,
they moved a cemetery. Which I don't know if that's legal.
That's
crazy. I guess it might be.
I guess you have to. You'd have to get permission from every single.
But that's crazy. Family. That's so disrespectful. But they move a cemetery. But I was surprised because I had always understood it had been a Native American burial ground, and that's why the ghosts were happening. And I was actually relieved that that wasn't the case because that's problematic. I think a little. To have no Native characters in this show, and just well, have their trauma
there
be
there is in Poltergeist 2. Oh. There is a Native American character who comes to help them with Zelda, with Tangina.
Do they learn that it's a Native American tribal ground? I just, can we not
but use also, like, why did
this
we
collective
plant?
Trauma yeah. as a prop
and,
in
like,
our
why
movie
did we plant
people?
This seed in this one that it's not, I don't know. I haven't seen the second one, or if I have, it was when I was, like, 7.5, so I don't remember it.
Well, it's not a Native American burial ground, just a regular one. But we learned that, so that's important. So then we go back to the home, and we have a real honest-to-God psychic there, and she's awesome. She's, like, 5'2", little lady with, like, a crazy... Callie has demonstrated
her
voice for
you. She is 4'3".
Oh, my God. Really?
Yeah.
She's so small.
She's teeny tiny.
So she gets a read on the house.
Oh, my God. I fucking love her.
She demonstrates that she's real. I love her, too, because the dad's trying to trick her. And she's like, nope, I got your number. I'm a psychic. Mm-hmm. She gives us a rundown on what's going on. She tells us that Carol Ann, the ghosts are attracted to Carol Ann because she's this vibrant
living
thing.
She is a light.
Right. And that Carol Ann is distracting them from being able to go toward the light, which has opened up for them for some reason. But also, in addition to the ghosts, there's another presence.
The beast.
Maybe that's the poltergeist. They call it the beast. And that's like a very angry, vengeful spirit. We don't know exactly what it is. She doesn't know exactly what it is. I guess it's the ghost of many slaughtered Native Americans.
I guess.
Who knows?
TBD.
So she has a plan. She's like, let's get your daughter back. Yeah. She's the action hero. She's the badass. She's going to lead
this. Now
let's
go get your daughter.
They find
out. With those glasses. God, I love
her.
That.
She was so good. They find out that, oh my God, do you think Theo grew up to be
Zelda? She shrank.
She shrank. I would love it. Oh, I can only dream. That's my fan fiction.
So Zelda says, call out to her. Call out to her. You have to get her attention.
Yeah.
And the mom is calling out to Carol Ann. And, and I love this part when she's like, who's she most scared of? And she makes the dad. And she's like, fight about it later. We don't have time. Like, make her answer you. Be cross with her. And I love the part when she's like, I'm going to give you a real spanking. And then she's like, honey.
I also loved when he's like, I've never spanked the children.
I know. I like that, too. And then when Carol Ann's like, Mommy, are you in the light? And she's like, tell her you are in the light. And she's like, no, I won't do it. And she's like, tell her. And she's like,
tell
Mommy
her you'll
never
see her again.
Yeah, Mommy is in the light. Come to the light.
It's so sad.
And then she's crying and she's like, I hate you for this. I started crying again.
I know, it is hard. It was hard to watch. That stuff was harder than any of the spookiness.
It was so scary. And then Zelda did the line that I already did, but I love it so much. Now clear your minds. Well, it knows what scares you. It has from the very beginning. Don't give it any help. It knows too much already. I love that part so much.
Kelly, the voice is so on point. It's so funny.
I've been practicing since I was 7. Now clear your
mind. Let's pay it off. All for this moment. Bringing it to the
You're master. Welcome, America.
Yeah. So what the plan is, that they have a rope. There's like a dimension. They discover that the portal opens in the closet and opens up again in the ceiling of the living room. So they throw some tennis balls into the closet and the tennis balls come out. So they know. So they have a rope and they throw the rope through. So the rope is on either
Which
side.
Is wild.
And somebody's going to go in. And at first Zelda is like, I'm going to go in. And this was like a really comedic, weird exchange.
I loved it.
The mom is like, no, no, let
she
me do it
come
on her
to
mother.
You. Yeah.
Yeah. And she's like, you've never done this. You did the voice. You've never done this before. Yeah.
And Diane says, neither have you. And Zelda goes, you're right. You go.
This is why Zelda's great. This is why women can get shit done in this way. She's
I love
not
it.
Bound by ego. She's
yeah.
like, you're right.
You're right.
Do it.
You go.
So she ties the rope around her waist. She has a tender moment with hubby. She's like, don't let go, Steve. He's going to hold it. Because he can't go because he has to be strong enough to
and
hold
like,
the
And like,
how
Spielberg is this moment?
It's
with
really
like the light behind them and
they're
in the shadows and they're kissing and there's music swelling.
Oh, I got actually emotional at this point. I was like, that's
Steven
really
Spielberg
sweet.
Does a really good job of building nice marriages. In Jaws, I always really liked the marriage in
you know,
that
in
movie.
The book, she has an affair with the young guy, the young doctor.
Richard Dreyfuss?
Yeah.
Well, not in Steven Spielberg's
no.
version.
No, he makes it nice. Has he been married for a long time?
We're going to Google it.
We'll find out later. None of our business. But anyway, so she goes in and the dad is holding the rope and it gets really intense. Now I have a question about what happens at this point. Take us through what Zelda says here.
She goes, children, I feel like I can't do it now. Go toward the light. All are welcome. All are welcome. I love that part.
I love that part. It's very good. But then the dad is like, you said not to go toward the light.
Yeah, so he's confused.
Yeah, I'm like, but no. They can go toward the light. Carol Ann shouldn't go toward the light.
I think he's confused, like, don't tell them to go towards the light. The light is bad. Well, and so he just gets confused and he's like, no. And then she goes, Steven, not yet. And he pulls the rope and the beast rears its beastly head.
Insane. Yeah, it's just like a giant.
And the dad looks scared as crap and he drops the rope, which like, Steven.
Steven, you had one job.
Exactly what we talked about before we went in there.
Your wife's last words to you were don't let go.
And you said never. And you are like Kate in Titanic and you let go anyway. So. But anyway, it's all good because they fall through the hole.
Yeah, she's got her. Carol Ann she's and got her. Mama are together. And they're not breathing and they're all covered in like
placenta-like goo.
Ectoplasm. Yes. They take them into the... Now this part, again, takes them into the bathtub. He's like, breathe. He's just wiping things off of their face. Yeah. I'm like, that's not how you get so like... You don't just yell, breathe at them and, like, clean them. But really? It works.
That's how I was taught magically. In lifeguard training. Breathe!
Well, you know, they change it. They update the criteria every few
also,
years.
Like, little Carolyn is totally, like, blinking and moving around. You can totally see it. It's really cute. But then they wake up.
And it's all good.
She goes, hi, Daddy. Which is, like, so cute.
And then Zelda goes, this hat, will you do it?
This house is clean. The most iconic line ever. And, like, me and my brother used to say that to each other all the time. I'm pretty sure that we did a answering machine recording one time that was, like, a combination of Shake and Bake, a Shake and Bake commercial. And yeah, exactly. Yeah. It was like, I'm making Shake and Bake. And then it would be like, this house is clean. Or like, nobody's home.
I'm sure that was a very confusing answering machine.
I'm sure it lasted for like 2 weeks before my mom was like, change it. I won't call you anymore unless you change it.
Oh, Lord.
But, God, that's so iconic. This house is clean is iconic.
And then what happens?
But, damn it, Zelda, you wrong.
But everybody's wrong.
Also, Zelda's getting knocked around by the beast and everything else. And I had such a moment when she's looking and she goes, this house is clean. Her hair looks exactly the way my hair looks every single morning when I wake up in the morning.
Well, maybe you're looking into your face. Your future.
I think I am. I mean, I'm only about 5'2 right now. I'm shrinking for sure.
Yeah, you'll shrink.
And every morning I wake up and Simon goes, oh, your hair. And like,
dude, at least you have hair.
Good point. But he's not wrong. I look like Zelda in that moment. It was like a kindred spirit
worst
moment.
Fashion icons. All right, so we've gotten to the next day. It's not the next day. It's a while. They're selling the house. They're packing
up
their shit.
Also, like, what the fuck? I would have left that house that minute.
Yeah.
I don't believe you, Tangina. The house may be clean, but I'm gone forever.
I don't understand.
Also, who's cleaning up the goo?
Oh, not my God. The dad needs to clean up the goo because he didn't hold the damn rope. That's your job,
Dad. Yeah, I think they thought about it.
They better not have thought about it. He better just accept that was his job. But
they
so
thought about
moving.
It over a joint.
Well, oh, God. Can you imagine smoking weed after all this
oh
shit
my
happened?
God.
Never. Oh,
never.
No.
Can you imagine taking a bath after that, which
she does. No, not only does she take a bath, she leaves her children in a room with a closed door.
In that same fucking room.
What are you doing,
What are
bitch?
You doing?
I don't know.
That part's dumb.
This gets into the whole thing. So they're moving. It's unclear how long it's been. It's their last night in the
house. I guess this is supposed to be like a fake out, right? Like, were you watching it for the first time? Were you faked out? Were you like, oh,
no,
it's over?
I was like, of course some shit is happening or the movie would be over. Would it be happening?
What are we going to do? The end scene's going to be the mom dyeing her hair in the bathtub.
But I also was like, why is all this shit around here? Like, they are moving. Why isn't this stuff in the moving truck?
Just get the fuck out.
Get out. They're going to spend the night at the Holiday Inn, but they have one more bath time. And the kids are... asleep because she's like, sleep till the husband gets home.
Again, I'm sorry. I know I've talked about this during A Quiet Place and some other.
Oh, yeah.
My children would be tied to my body. I would have used that goop covered rope and tied them to my body and never let them go. They would not, they would be touching me at all times. Like, what are you doing? Like, I'd be like a kangaroo. I'd be like, get in the pouch.
What was your mantra? We're, you're in sight or we're in a fight.
Yep. That's right. Yeah. That's it. That's my mothering mantra. You're in sight or we're in a fight. That's crazy that she shuts the goddamn door.
I know. Of the same room. Also, they've like replaced Caroline's headboard with the same exact headboard.
Yeah.
The whole thing is weird. The clown is still there. The Why isn't the clown in a box? Well, the clown
The window's fixed, but the tree's still there. You think
The tree's got to be gone. Is the tree still there? The tree, like...
Oh, the tree got sucked out of the ground by the twister.
The tree's
got
to be gone.
Okay.
But it's still fucked up. This clown finally rears his goddamn ugly head again, and he comes to life. And it's a pretty frightening scene.
Yeah.
And he grabs the little boy from behind. The little boy, like, goes to look under the bed, and he sits up, and he... And it was scary.
It was scary. I mean, I wrote down, they're all pretty chilled out for having been just through a literal nightmare.
This little boy, I feel so much. I mean, Caroline, they're saying she doesn't remember it, which, okay, maybe.
But later she goes,
remembers it?
Not again.
I know. Or like, no more. The mom, meanwhile, is getting levitated off of her bed.
So cool.
It was really good. Really
very
scary.
Nightmare.
Very,
on Elm Street.
And scary because she is wearing just a nightshirt and it keeps, like, flipping her shirt up with just, like, panties underneath. And that I always feel very vulnerable when I'm in. I often sleep without pants on. But
do you?
I
oh my
feel,
god!
Yeah,
I wrote down nightgowns are like a very 80s thing to me. I feel like
not even nightgowns, just like a long t-shirt. But yeah, I often do because I'm
I do not because I always wake up like Diane with my it, like, shirt like tucked around my pits.
Yeah, well, it's just me. Yeah, so she's
so I read a trivia that this was filmed with a stationary camera in a rotating room.
Oh,
which is pretty cool. It's kind of the way it's like the way they did Inception.
That is cool. Or like the Fred Astaire dancing on the ceiling bit from.
So that was pretty cool watching the scene with that in my mind. I was like, oh, that's cool. She's really just rolling.
See, this is when I'm getting to even when the effects weren't kind of bad, I still was into the practical effects of this throughout. But sometimes they were really good, like in this instance.
Yeah.
She's trying to get to the kids.
Yeah.
She's like, help me get my babies. She ends up falling down the stairs. She goes outside because she's screaming for the neighbors to help her. She falls in the swimming pool.
Which is crazy because that's also what she's been scared of happening to Carol Ann the whole time. So, like, it knows what scares you.
I didn't think about that.
She falls in the pool.
Good job, movie. She falls in the pool and there's fucking skeletons all in it. This was scary. She can't get out. And then her neighbor saves her and pulls her out.
I wrote down, skeletons in your pool. That should be the new skeletons in your closet.
I got some skeletons
He's got some skeletons in his pool.
Oh, Lord.
She goes back in the house.
Yeah.
She goes running down the hallway. It was like the descent. The hallway stretches, stretches. I liked that. I thought it was really cool.
I did too. It was kind of Willy Wonka. But she gets to the end of it.
And then she gets that mom strength. And she opens the door.
And the kids are about to be sucked into a giant vagina.
That was a vagina?
It looked, no, it's just the closet. But it was, like, all red and, like, weird. And I thought it was a little vaginal looking.
Oh.
I'm going to go back. The kids are about to get sucked back into the closet.
I literally was like, did I look down for too long and I missed a vagina?
I thought it looked like a vagina.
Sure, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I don't know. I don't, like, not exactly.
Not like a great vagina.
It was a little vaginal.
All right.
Whatever. The kids are about to get sucked back into the closet, which is all red and angry. But she gets that mom strength. She manages to yank them
Yanks
both these goddamn kids with one arm.
Oh, she gets that. She got them. That mom strength, that move a car off your kids.
I said that too.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good. The mom really comes through here, except she should not have left them alone in that bedroom. That was stupid. But while this is happening, the dad comes home. Also, the developer boss comes over for some reason.
Yeah, they were like together or something.
Yeah. And then the dad's like, you move the headstones, but not the graves.
Yeah.
And so we learn why.
You left the bodies.
Yeah.
I say it to my brother regularly because he hates it.
You
left the bodies and you only moved the headstones. You only moved the headstones.
And then the guy yells,
which also
lies,
is
lies.
So fucked up.
I know. It's really gross. I mean, real estate developers are evil. We know this.
Also, though, like, the family is stuck in the house because there are graves popping up all over the place. And the dad takes the moment to yell at the guy. I was like, maybe write a strongly worded letter in a couple of weeks.
But we needed it. We needed the connection we needed to be made. But yeah, the mom's like, Steve, help us. I'm like, you can help yourself. You've got it. And she does. She gets them out somehow. It was unclear on how exactly they got out. They just figured it out.
Gets out.
They get in the car. Dominique Dunn shows up and they're like, you know, she's screaming because the house is like all electrical and like.
Also, her hair is insane in that moment. Dominique? No disrespect, but yeah, she has like a crazy braid and a big hickey on her neck.
She did. Yeah. Well, we get the impression that she's a big hoe at one point they're like, do you want to go to we're going to the Holiday Inn? And she's like, oh yeah, I remember that place. And the mom's like, what?
Yeah.
What'd you say? She's been banging at the Holiday Inn. The most romantic spot in town. But so they drive away at the last minute. And thank God that dog is in the car with them.
Yes. The dad says, don't look back. The whole neighborhood is going through it at this time. Yes. Like, everything's going bananas.
Here's a question. Why is it just their house? Because presumably the whole development has been built over
neither a graveyard. Neither you nor I nor IMDb know the answer to that. Okay. Because it was a question on IMDb, too, that was like, why just their house?
Maybe because the dad is the developer is like
maybe Carol Ann. Involved.
Oh, yeah. Carol Ann is part of it, too. Okay.
Yeah that kid next door looked like a little shit. Nobody wants him. He's not a
the
light.
No, the ghosts don't want him.
He's not a light source.
No.
He's covered in Cheeto dust.
Ugh. That whole family. Why?
That family was trash.
Oh my god, there was like a vintage Cheeto bag at one point. Yeah. I was like, it's not even orange.
That family came over to help.
They did. Half they did. Help. They were redeemed at the end. They
well, I did like when the neighbor was like, listen to your children. I know. What's happening to them? What kind of sound is that? Or something sad. Like that. It was crazy.
Yeah. But so they redeemed themselves. The community came together. This is very like, I mean, this is something we see again and again, the illusion of the safety of the suburbs and like the weirdness that is embedded in the suburbs.
Right.
And I also wrote, and before when I thought this was about Native American burial ground, I was like, is this a metaphor for the American dream being a total sham because it's built on the subjugation of others? Maybe it's that. I don't know. There's a lot going on. The house gets disappeared.
And I thought, here come the men in black. Like, I literally was like, and now's where the men in black come to mind erase this neighborhood. Yep. Because how the fuck else are these people going to deal with what they've just seen?
I don't know, man. I don't know. I wish this would really happen, though, so we could have some real evidence.
Like, what? What? How would anyone continue life?
I don't know.
And how would the it's world continue on?
Well, like, it would be like at the end of Avengers when they're like, there's aliens now, I guess. Thank God we have the Avengers and the world just adjusts.
Adjusts.
Maybe. I don't know. But they get away. They go to the Holiday Inn. They go inside. They're all tired. It's a nice little denouement. And at the very last moment, the dad opens the door again and pushes the TV out.
Shuts the TV out.
Onto the balcony. And that's Poltergeist.
That's it.
That's it. Wow. That was a long one. Took us a while to get through it.
It was a long movie. It's a long movie.
It's 2 hours. But it's older, you know. I think movies, people had longer attention spans back then.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Speaking of, shall we rate it?
I think we should. I, like, don't really know what to give this movie. You go
first. I don't
either.
Okay. It's hard. I know this is supposed to be a classic, and the more we talked about it, the more I liked it. I mean, there's a lot that's interesting about it. I didn't really enjoy watching it very much, honestly. It was, like, weird and upsetting, and it was affecting. The movie didn't make a lot of sense within its own universe to me in some ways. So I kept being like, what? This is happening now? Like, how did that event lead to this event?
I do agree with that.
But I know that it's, you know, been written, it's on all these top 10 lists, and so I'm sure people are going to think that I'm basic and don't know what I'm talking about, but I'm going to give it 3.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give it a 3-star. And for scream emojis, I guess I'll give it 3. It's really not very scary, but there are 2 or 3 scenes that are, like, the skeletons in the swimming pool, the clown scene, the maggot scene. And then, as we talked about, the not really horror scenes, but like the swimming pool stuff.
Yeah.
That made it hard. It made it tough to watch. So yeah. I'll give it a 3. That's where I'm going.
Yeah. I think I'll give it a 4 for a movie just because I do think it is kind of a classic horror movie. And I think it, you know, besides the special effects, I think it kind of stands up. I do think there's like some plot issues that, especially now that I'm watching it in a more discerning way, I'm like, a hallucination in the middle of all this? That seems a little weird. Or, like, Poltergeist versus Haunting, da-da-da-da-da. But...
Well, I wonder if the title came after.
After?
Yeah.
Maybe.
I don't know. Hmm. But it's a weird choice for a title.
Yeah, Pool Skeletons would have been probably better. So I'll give it 4, I think. Mm-hmm. And then, but for scares, I think three. It's hard. It's hard to judge. And I kind of knew when we were going into watching this that it was going to be hard to judge it because, yeah. I've seen it about a bajillion times since I was a little kid. And, like, I don't really remember. I think it scared me really bad when I was little.
I'm sure for a kid it would be scary.
Yeah, and also I think just, you know, now we're more attuned to, like, really high-tech,
right. scary stuff. It's hard to judge these special effects.
And the special effects are so old school, so it's hard, but I think it was probably super scary at the time.
Yeah, but you know what I will say? I don't know that, and if we're accepting the premise that this is a Steven Spielberg-directed film, I don't know that he's really a horror director.
Right.
This did not feel generically like a horror movie to me. It felt much more like a sci-fi action adventure sort of thing.
It was
with scary moments.
I would say, yeah, it was very sci-fi. I would probably classify it as like a sci-fi horror movie where it's like, it was more about the ghosts, and even the ghost hunters took a very like scientific approach.
Right.
So.
All right.
Yeah.
I think we've gotten where we need to get with Poltergeist.
Yeah,
I feel good that I've seen it now. Yeah, I'm glad I watched it.
I used to watch Coach every morning with the dad.
Oh, that's who that is. That's so cute. All right. Well, cool. That's all we got, I guess.
Yeah.
So if you want to tune in next time, if you want to watch what we're watching next time, tune into our Soch Meads. Sorry. Sorry, I apologize.
Soch Meads. We're at Scream Girls Pod on Instagram and Twitter.
And Facebook.
And Facebook.
Mm-hmm. Or you can email us your suggestions or whatever at, not your mean comments, please, at screamgirlspodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah, just encouraging comments only. Thank you.
Yeah, we're only interested in support. I had a friend listen to this, and he started to give me a little bit of feedback about the sound quality, and I was like, I'm not asking for notes.
Nope. We know. If you know, we know. You know?
I know. Okay,
thanks for listening.
Oh, one more thing. Please rate, review, and subscribe, or do one of those things if you don't want to do all three, because it really helps other people find the podcast.
Yeah, and you know what? Do all three.
Do all three. Come on.
We need it. Yeah. And tell your friends to listen.
Yes, please. Okay.
Okay.
Thanks, y'all.
Thanks. Bye.